This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio. Who to start? Who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? A weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Back to throw, look, fires over the middle, caught, left, the touchdown, welcome.
And from all around the NFL.
Fitzgerald leaped, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Ask your fantasy questions, hear from the experts, and let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's a resident fantasy geek. Guru Brian Lowe.
And welcome into the Fantasy Lowdown week number 9 here on Patriots.com. My name is Brian Lowe, here with you for the next hour talking fantasy football, taking your emails, taking your phone calls, and giving you advice that you need to know to get your lineup straight for this Sunday and Monday. We're at the halfway point, if you can believe it, of the NFL season, and really beyond the halfway point of the fantasy football season. And we don't want you to fall any farther behind in the standings than you already are. We want you to be heading in the opposite direction. So that's why we're here, to help you out for fantasy football. The way to reach us, webradio at patriots.com. As always, webradio at patriots.com. You can also, if you dare, call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482. Six NFL teams are on a bye this week. It's the second week in a row, but mercifully, the last week that there are six teams on a bye, and then next week, four teams, and that's it. You won't have to worry about bye weeks anymore. So this week, much like last week, can be very, very challenging. You may have checked into your team maybe on Monday or Tuesday, started to get a feel for the upcoming week, lineup moves, maybe free agent moves, looking at some trades, and you look at your team and you see that almost half of the team has a bye week. Well, that's what we're here for, to help you out with those and try to sort through the mess that is the waiver wire and trades, and try not to undermine your team for future weeks just to have a better option for this week. So we'll help you out with all that. One little bit of fantasy football sort of breaking news that I just noticed. Matt Hasselbeck has been ruled out for the Seattle Seahawks this week, hosting the Giants, which I actually, you know, sort of thought Matt Hasselbeck might be an underrated sort of fantasy option, but he has a concussion, and the Giants have a very good defense. But Hasselbeck and the Seattle offense tends to do better at home. And even though I would say Hasselbeck would be a very low-level starter this week in fantasy football, I thought maybe he'd be a sleeper candidate this week at home with the Giants going west coast, going coast to coast. Thought that might not be a bad matchup. But Charlie Whitehurst is going to start for the Seattle Seahawks this week, and I don't look at him really as a fantasy option at all. You know, you'd really have to be in a bind. You'd really have to have guys on a bye week and no trade options, and cut someone to pick up Charlie Whitehurst. You'd really have to be in a bind. And then, as a side note to that, Zach Robinson, the Patriots' seventh-round draft pick, who was cut by the Pats right after training camp and signed to the Seahawks practice squad, it looks like he'll be elevated from the practice squad to serve as the number two quarterback. Really no fantasy implications there, but did want to mention that Matt Hasselbeck news. You may not have seen that. Matt Hasselbeck ruled out for this Sunday. In just a few minutes, we're going to talk to Greg Rosenthal from RotoWorld.com. He also does work on ProFootballTalk.com. Very well plugged into the NFL scene, and his specialty is fantasy football. So we can talk to him about some of the news and notes in the NFL, how they relate to fantasy. We'll be checking in with him in just a few minutes. Certainly want to talk about Randy Moss. Boy, every week there's something to talk about with Randy Moss, and this time it's him being out of Minnesota and joining the Tennessee Titans. Now, they have a bye this week, so there won't be a lot of decisions having to be made as far as Randy Moss in your lineup this week. Get him out of your lineup if you haven't yet. But it's also interesting because Kenny Britt, who was just 2 weeks removed from a 225-yard, three-touchdown performance for the Titans, it looks like he's going to be out for a month. So the fact that Britt is going to be out starting next week when Tennessee plays at Miami, you wonder, does Randy Moss step right into the Tennessee lineup, and can he be effective? It's not like the Titans are wildly deep at wide receiver. They've got Nate Washington, Justin Gage, Damian Williams. Obviously, Chris Johnson is the catalyst for that offense, and Randy Moss joining the team can't do anything but help Chris Johnson. But we certainly want to figure out what kind of impact, if any, can Randy Moss have with Tennessee. We don't have to talk about the reasons why Randy Moss has been waived by Minnesota. That's for a different show. We're just here to talk about the fantasy implications. We only have an hour, so we want to talk about that. And certainly, 1 week from today, when we're back with you on the Fantasy Lowdown, it will be much more of a bigger topic, because then you'll really have to decide, does Randy Moss deserve a spot in my lineup? Another odd story that came across today, this report that Drew Brees has been playing with a fracture and a torn meniscus in his left knee. And Sean Payton came out and said it's inaccurate, it's completely false. It was a worrisome note if Drew Brees is your fantasy quarterback, and he is my quarterback in one of my leagues, but I'm not too worried about it. Brees is not having a prolific year. High touchdown totals, good yardage, but high interception totals as well. And that's a little bit of a worry without question. And it looks like there's nothing really to worry about there, but interesting nonetheless. The Minnesota Vikings, the team that Randy Moss has left. Brett Favre, he says his ankle injury feels better than it did last week, but he also took a shot against the Patriots. Certainly he's going to be starting this week for Minnesota, hosting Arizona, and it's a good matchup for Minnesota's passing offense because Arizona is not a great pass defense. And then Percy Harvin is the biggest question mark, though, with his ankle injury that he suffered against the Patriots last week. He had a noticeable limp in their walkthrough on Thursday, it looks like, and it looks like he may try to play through the injury, but he's a questionable start. Oddly enough, I think Bernard Berrian is an interesting guy to look at on the waiver wire just because, Moss isn't there anymore. Harvin may not play or if anything, could be slowed, which is interesting because I think you're looking at guys like Berrian and Greg Camarillo on a day where the Vikings actually have a pretty good matchup as far as the passing game goes. So those are just a few of the topics that are on the plate and on the table, and we certainly want to hear from you. We've got a whole bunch of emails at webradio@patriots.com, and we're going to get right to them right now with Matt from Morgantown, West Virginia. Matt says, thanks for the help last week. I was able to get the win and move into third place in the league. I have a lot of people on bye this week, so I want to make sure I play the best options that I have available. First, I have Deion Branch on my roster, but he's been on my bench ever since I picked him up. Just today, D'Angelo Williams and Beanie Wells were dropped and placed on waivers in my league. I know that both have some injuries going on, but I'm considering dropping Deion Branch to pick one of these guys up. Is this a good move? Well, it's not a good move, I don't think, if it pertains just to this week. But if it pertains to the season as a whole, I think you can certainly make the case. I don't feel strongly about Deion Branch's fantasy implications this year.
I agree, Kevin, 100%.
Kevin wants to jump in.
Especially with that whole running out of bounds thing.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, he's got an injury, a hamstring injury that clearly affected him, as you mentioned.
And that's why he did that.
Exactly. And it was probably a smart move for him. It's I think the way he probably looked at that play was, did I get the first down? Yes. That's the most important thing right there. I'm out.
And as a guy that does own him in fantasy, you want to see him cut back and take it to the house.
Of course, but that's a situation where, fantasy and reality don't often mesh. I'm sure when the Patriots decided on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon that Branch would be healthy enough to play, they probably said to him, hey, Deion, don't do anything stupid. Do your thing, but don't be afraid to fall before you get tackled. Don't be afraid to run out of bounds before you get pushed out of bounds. And that's just smart from the Patriots' perspective.
And we all know that at any level, whether it's collegiate or in the NFL, those hamstrings on wide receivers or DBs, those lightweight guys,
they always
seem to act up.
And they linger.
Somewhere down the line.
And they linger. So, Matt, I would say that Deion Branch doesn't do much for me fantasy-wise, even when healthy. I think he's pretty much locked into probably a 5-catch, 50-yard game just about every week with a touchdown every 3 or 4 weeks.
And the Patriots offense in general isn't what it used to be.
Right.
And I think that helps contribute to our feeling on Deion Branch.
It isn't what it used to be, meaning it's very good for reality football. It's great for what they need to do. It's just not great for fantasy. So D'Angelo Williams is highly unlikely to play this week for Carolina hosting New Orleans. And Beanie Wells, he's got an injury issue. He also, I don't know what to make of Beanie Wells because I thought last week would
you
be.
You liked him.
I still do.
Yeah,
I just thought
too.
Last week when Tim Hightower wasn't playing, Tim Hightower played, I don't think he had a single carry.
Beanie didn't play awful last week, did he?
He didn't play awful, but I thought it could be a breakout performance. Now I look at Beanie Wells as a guy who, I think he's startable, but shaky every single week. So I would say that if you're looking for a long-term guy for this year, I'd cut Deion Branch and first go D'Angelo Williams. But the bottom line is D'Angelo Williams and Beanie Wells do not deserve to be on any league's waiver wire. They should be on a team. Deion Branch, I don't know how deep you are at wide receiver, although we are going to get to some of your stardom or sit-ems. I'd say, without question, if you're asking me D'Angelo Williams, Beanie Wells, or Deion Branch, who should be on my team, I'd go in that order. D'Angelo Williams, Beanie Wells, then Deion Branch. Quickly to Matt's stardom or sit-em. QB, Michael Vick or Matthew Stafford? I go Vick for sure against the Colts. He's coming back from his injury. And Stafford had a really good game, 4 touchdowns last week, but against the Jets, you never know. Wide receiver, he needs 2. Jeremy Maclin against the Colts, Mike Williams of Seattle against the Giants, and also Steve Breston. I think Maclin is the surefire guy, and I give Breston a notch above Mike Williams, especially now that we know that Matt Hasselbeck is not going to start, and it's going to be Charlie Whitehurst. So I go Maclin and Breston. At tight end, a question he has is, I was quick to pick up Jacob Tammy, but I also have Aaron Hernandez. Which one should get the nod? I think Tammy. Hernandez was back at practice today, missed yesterday's practice with non-injury reasons, but I think Jacob Tammy, he showed a lot the other night against Houston. I think Peyton Manning's throwing him the ball. Hernandez should get a few looks, but I like Tammy a lot this week. And then he asks on a flex note, this is why I was really considering D'Angelo Williams or Beanie Wells. If I were to pick up one of those guys, then I think I would have a much better option to place in the flex position. Otherwise, I would have to choose from what is left above. What do you think? Well, D'Angelo Williams probably won't play this week. Beanie Wells, a shaky start, but he'd probably be a better option over Mike Williams of Seattle. So that's the way I'd go. And Matt says, finally, on to more important things. I am going to my first NFL game on Sunday. I will be at Cleveland sporting my Tom Brady jersey along with several of my friends. Let's go, Pats. Matt, I'll see you there. My first time in Cleveland as well. A round of applause to you. I think that's great that you're getting out there to a road game sporting the Patriots jerseys. Cleveland, I think, is a rowdy crowd. So if the Pats can get some hometown fans, I'm sure they'd be appreciative of that, Matt. Thank you very much. Webradio at Patriots.com is the way to reach us. We are going to go to the phones right now. Joining us on the Ace Ticket Hotline is Greg Rosenthal from RotoWorld.com and ProFootballTalk.com as well. Very plugged into the fantasy scene. Greg, how you doing today?
What's going on, Brian?
Not too much, but plenty. I mean, there's always plenty to talk about. I know you know that as well, and you probably just beat the beat the clock to get your Week 9 rankings in just in time for this show. Actually, I think every week, right?
That's right. It goes up usually at RotoWorld around 1 o'clock on Thursday.
Yeah, just in time for the fantasy lowdown. And to tell you the truth, we do check in on those rankings frequently, so we appreciate you putting those out there. It's been a wild and crazy year, hasn't it, Greg? I mean, what has stood out to you, I guess, from a fantasy perspective, where you just scratch your head some weeks and say, what is going on here? I mean, LeGarrette Blount, did you ever think LeGarrette Blount would be the lead to your Week 9 rankings at this point in the year?
How about LeGarrette Blount being the lead to the rankings a week after Ryan Fitzpatrick was the lead to my rankings?
Exactly. It makes it a lot of fun. It makes it interesting week after week. Makes it very challenging as well. Well, Greg, certainly the biggest topic from a football and fantasy football standpoint, really all year, but this week as well, is Randy Moss. And I know the Titans aren't playing this week, so it's not a huge issue as far as making lineups for this week, but I certainly want to start off by getting your perspective on the Randy Moss trade. What sort of impact he might have on Tennessee fantasy-wise? Because owners who have Randy Moss, they're going to be a little perplexed as to what to expect. What do you expect starting next week?
Well, you know, I don't think it could be worse than what's gone on so far with Randy Moss. I mean, I think a lot of people think, oh, the Titans, they don't throw the ball at all. You know, we're in trouble. But look at what Randy Moss is doing with the Patriots and the Vikings. He's scoring some touchdowns.
Yep.
Really not consistent at all. I own him. He's been a big disappointment.
Yeah.
If you look at the Titans, they have 2 wide receivers that average over 16.5 yards per catch. Nate Washington, that's 60.7. Kenny Britt's at 18.9. I mean, this is a vertical offense. Britt is going to be out probably for the rest of the fantasy regular season, at least, maybe for the rest of the NFL regular season. So I think Randy Moss is a great fit for that offense. I mean, I watch them a lot, and they don't throw the ball a ton, but all they do is throw deep, and that's pretty much all Randy Moss does right now, and I think it's a good fit for him.
Yeah, and the side benefit to that is, you know, Chris Johnson. I mean, he's an every-week starter, obviously, but you figure he might be able to get a chance to even boost his stats. And then Vince Young. Do you think it's a good thing for Vince Young?
It can't hurt. I mean, whatever happens off the field right now with Randy Moss, whatever's happening on the field, you know, he's probably not what he was even 2 years ago. But does he help out that offense? I think, you know, from a fantasy perspective, there's no way he can't. If you look at the Titans quarterbacks, they've been very productive this year with the throws that they've had. Vince Young is the number one quarterback and quarterback rating right now. And Kerry Collins has been fairly effective when he played too. He actually stood up and he kind of lobbied for Randy Moss earlier this week after Moss was cut by the Vikings. I think that maybe played a role in him joining the Titans.
Yeah. We're talking to Greg Rosenthal from RotoWorld.com. And Moss's old team, the Minnesota Vikings, we saw them here at Gillette Stadium last week. And, you know, Brett Favre gets knocked out of the game. Percy Harvin leaves temporarily with an ankle injury that looks like it's keeping him at questionable for this week. I think Minnesota at home against Arizona has a pretty good matchup as far as their offense goes. But who's going to be the key? Who are going to be the key guys in the passing game for Minnesota this week if obviously Randy Moss isn't there, and maybe if Percy Harvin is out, and how does this all affect Brett Favre as we're looking at this week's game?
Yeah, Harvin missed practice today. You know, when they asked who's going to replace Randy Moss yesterday to Brad Childress, he said, well, Hank Baskett's going to be picking up more snaps in practice. So I'm sure that really excites Vikings fans out there. Sidney Rice said he's not in no rush to return, but he has no timeline to return. He's definitely not coming back this week. So to answer your question, I think the big winner here is Vasante Shenko, and I think Adrian Peterson, who's having an MVP caliber season, if they were 5-2 instead of 2-5, I think he'll just get fed the ball more and more.
How about Bernard Berrien and Greg Camarillo? I've just, in the last couple days myself, I've just been intrigued thinking about, well, you know, the Arizona pass defense isn't very good. They're going to have to, someone's going to line up at wide receiver. Are Bernard Berrien or Greg Camarillo sleeper types that fantasy owners might want to take a look at, especially with six teams on a bye and a lot of wide receivers not out there? Any thoughts on those two guys?
Yeah, I happen to be in my most desperate position in terms of wide receivers on two. I only have three teams this year. I cut it back, and you know, my teams are struggling at wide receiver this week because of the buys and injuries and all that, and Randy Moss actually. And I am thinking about picking up Berrien if Percy Harvin is out. I think you have to look at Berrien as an interesting 1 week play. Him and the second receiver in San Diego, who I can't pronounce his name, are two guys I'm kind of circling as possibilities. Berrien has been a good NFL receiver, so that's why you can't quite understand why he's been so invisible this year.
Seyi Ajiro-Tutu. I'm going to give it a stab in the dark. I think Ajiro-Tutu, I believe. And if it weren't for the Patriots game against San Diego a couple weeks ago when he had a few clutch catches in the fourth quarter, I probably wouldn't know at all. Greg
well,
Rosen.
I'm glad you told me that because I have a show on Sunday, so I need to practice it.
There you go. There you go. And San Diego at Houston this week. Houston, the 32nd ranked pass defense. So, you know, not a bad option right there as well. Greg, wondering your thoughts on Michael Vick. Michael Vick returning to the lineup for Philly this week. You know, it's been such a bizarre situation with Andy Reid because there have been injury issues, but there's also been, well, you know, Cobb's going to start, but no, Vick is going to start. Does Michael Vick slide right back into a starting role if he's been on fantasy benches the last month or so?
I would do it. I think he kind of earned that right with his play earlier in the season. You know, you think of Michael Vick and you think inconsistent, but the rushing yards that he gets each week makes him so consistent from a fantasy perspective. And I think the Colts defense is not quite as good as it usually is overall, especially against the pass. And it's certainly not as good on the road than it is at home. Also, one of their best players, Clint Session, sounds very questionable for this game. Their cornerbacks are banged up. So I think it's a good matchup. I'd play Vic.
Yeah. Talking about some running backs, and, you know, who would have thought, I guess it's just kind of the nature of the position at running back. We talked about LeGarrette Blount when you came on. But guys like LeGarrette Blount, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis here in New England, Mike Hart with Indianapolis, Chris Ivory. These are guys who no one had really heard of when the NFL season began, or if you did hear of them, it was, maybe because of their collegiate performances. Among those guys like Blunt, Green Ellis, Hart, Ivory, and other guys, who would you say are the one or two that you think going forward through the rest of the fantasy regular season, and if people are looking ahead to how they want to build their lineup for the playoffs, which of those guys do you think have the best ability to be long-term solutions? And by long-term, I mean through the rest of this season.
Well, you know, I led my column, like you mentioned, with Blunt today, and that was after watching the last two Bucks games. I've been impressed by him. I think he's got that sort of instincts that you look for from a running back. You know, it's kind of hard to define, but I watched that game against the Cardinals, and then you're watching him and you're watching Beanie Wells, and I swear, I think Blount looked like the better player. He makes people miss. He's powerful. He finishes his runs. I think they want to get the ball to him a lot. He's got a pretty tough matchup this week against Atlanta. But I think he can stick. I mean, Peyton Hillis is the guy that kind of came out of nowhere at this point. Right. I think people expect him to stick, and I expect him to be around. You're right. After you get past about the top 10 running backs, it gets real shaky, and it makes it hard to rank those players.
And even in those top 10s, you know, I should even mention Arian Foster is a guy who, you know, when training camp opened this year, I mean, he was not a guy that was right on radar screens. I think as training camp as we started getting through training camp, people saw him as a key guy. So running backs, it just seems like every single week there's new guys that no one had really heard of that make big statements. A couple more minutes with Greg Rosenthal of RotoWorld.com, and you can also catch him on ProFootballTalk.com. A couple of websites that you really must go to every single day if you follow the NFL and follow fantasy. Again, six teams on a bye this week, which means people look at their lineups and they see bye weeks everywhere. Could you give me a sleeper at quarterback, a sleeper at running back, and a sleeper at wide receiver? Anything that jumps out to your mind that people who are panicking right now better try to find?
Well, we just gave a couple good ones, I think, at wide receiver. Yep. If you wanted to go even deeper than that, Nate Burleson seems to be out there on a lot of waiver wires. Mario Manningham for Seattle might be a guy very deep. James Jones and Jordy Nelson, both of the Packers, especially Jones if he's out there playing against a Dallas secondary that's really struggling. I know you only said one, so I'll pick one at the other position. Sure. Let's think. At running back, I think you have to go with Donald Brown. It looks like Mike Hart, I have a feeling, is not going to be healthy enough to play that game, so I think Indianapolis will have to go with Donald Brown. He hasn't looked that good, but he is healthy. He didn't play all of last week's game, but they limited his snap count because it was his first game back. He was actually healthy. If you're looking at quarterbacks, Mark Santis, I don't think is that bad of a choice. And I'll tell you what, I don't think John Kitna is that bad a choice. That defense right now in Dallas is so bad that I think he's going to wind up throwing about 40 to 45 passes. He might not really be very good from a reality perspective, but I think he could be okay in fantasy.
Right, Dallas at Green Bay, and then the Jets are playing at Detroit, so a couple of road quarterbacks you think are pretty good bets. How about a defense? Is there a defense, when we look at the matchups for this week, a defense, if someone has Washington and Tennessee, a couple of defenses that are on a bye week, anything that stands out for you this week matchup-wise?
Well, you know, I like it. You know, defense is a position where I don't mind making new pickups each and every week. I do that with a lot of teams. I end up having the Steelers with one team, so I'll stick with them. But other than that, you know, this week I think the Bills are out there on a lot of waiver wires, I'm sure. There's really no reason for you to have had the Bills before, but they're playing the Bears, who give up about as many fantasy points to opposing defenses as anyone, because sacks, turnovers, you name it, that Bears offense gives it up. So that would probably be the team I would zero in on. I wouldn't mind either the Chiefs or the Raiders in that matchup where they go against each other as well.
All right. Great stuff, Greg Rosenthal. A lot of fantasy insight. And once again, make sure you check him out on rotoworld.com, especially his goal line stand rankings that are up every Thursday afternoon. A great resource, a great quick resource to use if you're just trying to make some lineup decisions. He has great stuff. Greg, thank you as always for joining us. We've had you on in the past, and we'll certainly have you on again, and we'll see you down the line. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, man. Good talking to you.
All right. Greg Rosenthal from RotoWorld.com and ProFootballTalk.com. We appreciate having him on here on the Fantasy Lowdown. You are listening to the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com radio. Web radio at Patriots.com is the way to join us. We want to hear from you. We've got a bunch of emails in the inbox. We're going to get to them after this.
This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit a B-low on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown. That's right, you can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Or, of course, you can email us at webradio@patriots.com. A number of people have done just that, and we're going to get to them right now.
It's a little mood music for you.
It's the right fantasy mood. And actually, Kevin, hang right where you are, because Todd in Jacksonville says, "What up, B-Lo and Kevin? I have a bit of a mess on my hands and would like both of your opinions. Here is my team. Who would you start and sit this week? It is a point per reception league."
Now, Kevin can be there, obviously, to offer insight.
Yeah, actually, hey, Tom, could you cut? Yeah, Tom, come on over. You can take seat three, microphone. Yeah, Tom Brady's going to help us out with some. No, I'm just kidding. Need one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, a tight end, kicker, and defense. QBs, Michael Vick versus Indy or Ben Roethlisberger versus Cincinnati? I give edge Vick, but it's compelling. That's a good problem to have,
yeah.
Todd.
Good depth.
I go Vick because I just think there's a...
I like the multifaceted attack.
I think Roethlisberger is good for a couple picks as well.
I think
Pittsburgh-Cincinnati is going to be a really low-scoring game.
Yeah,
I think Philly-Indy.
That's definitely going to
Philly-Indy, high scoring.
That's going to be a shootout. But that like you said, that Pittsburgh-Cincy game is the Sunday night game. It's going to be a hit him in the mouth,
right.
Drop dead, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust,
right.
Type game.
Three straight night games for Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Sunday, Monday, Sunday. Next Sunday against the Patriots.
Yep.
Running backs, Michael Turner against Tampa Bay, Javid Best against the Jets, or LeGarrette Blount against Atlanta. He also has Frank Gore, who's on a bye. I think Turner for sure. And then I give edge LeGarrette Blount, ride the hot hand. Javid Best, good choice. I mean, he's a good choice. Again,
Best is against the Jets, though, right?
Best is against the Jets.
I'm still, even though the Jets, I'm not as scared as I once was of the Jets defense. I still respect them enough to kind of stray away from iffy matchups,
right.
Against them each week.
But I think Blount is the hot hand.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be getting the ball, and I think that's a good
matchup. Speaking of hitting people in the mouth.
Yeah, no question about it. We just heard from Greg Rosenthal, who... Enjoy it. That's a good one. We all know his collegiate history. All right, wide receivers. Anquan Boldin against Miami, Brandon Marshall against Baltimore, Danny Woodhead against Cleveland, or Seattle's Mike Williams against the Giants. And to note that he didn't participate in practice yesterday. Here's my situation. I also have Moss on a bye and Vincent Jackson, who won't be available for a couple more weeks. Do I drop V-Jax and try to pick up someone like Jordy Nelson of Green Bay, Mohamed Massakoi, Lee Evans, or Blair White. I'd like to be able to continue to stash V-Jax on my bench till he comes back, especially with the uncertainty surrounding Moss. Well, you need three wide receivers here. So I think Bolden and Marshall are pretty good ones.
Yeah.
But then you start getting weak with Woodhead and Mike Williams.
But Woodhead's put up some, like, he's not going to go and score you 20 points, but he's not going to give you a goose egg.
I'll tell you, you're right. I mean, he's probably going
to
get about
6 to 8 at the very least.
He's going to have 8 touches or so.
Yeah. And between the running touches that he gets and the little swing passes out of the backfield.
Yeah.
I've had him on one of my teams, and I've been using him as kind of that flex play.
Yeah.
Because I've really not run into a guy that's going to get me. And I'm in a position where I'm only looking for, like, somewhere in between 5 to 10 points out of that position.
Yeah.
Because I'm a realist.
Right. You're a realist. Exactly.
And my team stinks anyway.
I would say hang on to Vincent Jackson. I think the other guys that you mentioned here, Jordy Nelson, you know, yeah, if Donald Driver's out, he might get some better looks. But Mohamed Massakoi, he's got Colt McCoy throwing the ball to him. Lee Evans, but I think you might be better off hanging on to Vincent Jackson and sucking it up for this week. Maybe going with Woodhead as your third wide receiver and just hanging on to Vincent Jackson because I think he might be able to help you going forward. And then tight end, Zach Miller of Oakland, he didn't participate in practice yesterday and is dealing with a foot injury. Do you think he'll play Sunday? And if not, then I'll have to drop Vincent Jackson to pick up a tight end. Who would you pick up? Available on waivers, Jacob Tammy against Philadelphia, Owen Daniels against San Diego, Todd Heap against Miami, Tony Moiaki against Oakland, Heath Miller against Cincinnati, Greg Olsen against Buffalo. See, here's the thing. You're showing us, Todd, that there is a lot of depth at tight end on the waiver wire, and that's something I found this year in a lot of leagues. What I've just saw about Zach Miller is he was held out of practice again on Thursday, but Tom Cable has indicated multiple times he still expects Miller to be ready to go by Sunday. I would say definitely pick up Jacob Tammy if you can, but I don't know if it's worth picking him up by dropping Vincent Jackson. I just think, you know, if it turns out Miller isn't playing and you're in a big hole, then yeah, drop Vincent Jackson, pick up Jacob Tammy. But right now, I'd say you still might be okay with Zach Miller, who actually, you know, Greg Rosenthal has listed 5th on his rankings. Obviously, pending that he plays. I think if he plays, he'll be all right this week. But Jacob Tammy certainly is a pretty good option as well. Glenn is our next emailer. Glenn says, hello. Once again, I come away with a win. Hugely thanks to you. Thank you for your help last week. I've made some trades, as you suggested last week, so my team looks a bit different. However, I'm hoping it's not too bad. With last week's win, I'm now 4-4 and 5th in my division. I was hoping you'd be able to help me again this week. I'm in a 16-team fantasy league, which seems to mean most of the waiver wire suggestions are already on people's teams. So who do you think I should start this week? Also, do you think it's worth picking up Fred Taylor? When he's back, will he take over from Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis and hence put up as good numbers? Let's get to the Fred Taylor situation first. He's now missed, is it 4 or maybe 5 games, and has not been at practice this week. There is no indication that he's going to be ready to go in the next couple of weeks. You know, next week the Patriots play the Steelers, a very tough run defense, followed by Indianapolis, some tough matchups. In my opinion, I think Fred Taylor is probably going to come back sometime within the next probably month, but I just don't see him being much use for fantasy players this year. If he does come back, I don't think he comes back and is an every down guy. I think Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis will still get some carries. It will hurt Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis' value more than it will help Fred Taylor's value. I don't think it's a good move to pick up Fred Taylor. My guess is the Patriots are simply trying to have Fred Taylor fresh and healthy for the stretch run in the playoffs, and that's not a good sign for fantasy owners. As for Glenn's team, he says, who do I start? The wide receivers are a bit of a head-scratcher. His projected starters here are Michael Vick at quarterback, Peyton Hillis and Javid Best at running back, Roddy White, Brandon Marshall, and Miles Austin at wide receiver, Aaron Hernandez at tight end, kicker David Akers, and the Cardinals' defense against Minnesota. His only other option as far as quarterback is Kevin Cobb, so no question you're going Vic. Running back, you've got Hillis and Best, and then you've got Marshawn Lynch and Frank Gore. Well, Gore's on a bye. Lynch, really bad outing last week against the Giants, and I'm not wildly enthused by the Seahawks offense now that I know Matt Hasselbeck will be out. I think Hillis and Best are the way to go. Now, wide receiver, White, Marshall, Austin, and then you've got Jeremy Maclin, Nate Burleson. I think you've got to put Maclin into the lineup, and he probably replaces, at this point, Miles Austin. Miles Austin, a big disappointment last week, and, you know, with with John Kitna there now, I'm not too wild about him at Green Bay. I think Roddy White is pretty much the best wide receiver out there these days, and Brandon Marshall has been shaky, but I think Jeremy Maclin has to get in your lineup. I really do. And as tough as it might be to bench Miles Austin, I think you put Jeremy Maclin in there. I think he's going to score this week. I don't know if Miles Austin will. At tight end, Aaron Hernandez or Kellen Winslow. Tough choice right there. I think Winslow has a chance. He's had a knee injury. Hernandez is healthy but hasn't been able to break one loose. I'd say toss up right there, but I'd probably go edge Kellen Winslow. And then you might want to do something about the defense. Although, with Minnesota, with all their guys banged up and Moss not being there, you know, I don't like the matchup for Arizona, but you can make an argument. I think you might want to make a move somewhere along the line. Maybe it involves Nate Burleson and get another defense there. Glenn says, thank you once again for providing great entertainment and advice. Well, Glenn, thank you for emailing in. Webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. Next, we've got Joey, the Situation, Anastasio. How about that, Kevin? Joey, the Situation, Anastasio. Joey, or the Situation, whichever you prefer to be called. Here's what he says. To host Brian Lowe and company. His name is Kevin. Company's name is Kevin. I have two questions. First, I like to start combos on my team. For example, I've got Aaron Rodgers, so naturally I make sure to start Greg Jennings. I'm stuck this week trying to decide who to start from the following. Either Jason Campbell and Darius Heyward-Bey against the Chiefs, or Ryan Fitzpatrick and Steve Johnson against the Bears. Hang on. If you've got Aaron Rodgers and Greg Jennings, why aren't you starting them? Anyways, Jason Campbell, Darius Heyward-Bey, that's the hot hand. They've been on a roll. Heyward-Bey has had his biggest game as a pro last week, and they're playing the Chiefs. Then Fitzpatrick and Johnson against the Bears has been a very consistent duo. Steve Johnson, I think, has 6 touchdowns this year, and I think it's in 4 or 5 straight games, something like that. I'd probably go Fitzpatrick first. That Buffalo duo, believe it or not, Buffalo this week at home against Chicago, whereas Oakland is that game on the road? Yeah, no, they're at home against Kansas City. I'd go Fitzpatrick first. I'd go Fitzpatrick and Johnson over Campbell and Heyward-Bey, but it's close. It's close. The Bears pass defense is middle of the pack. Kansas City's pass defense, a little below that level. So it's a toss-up, but I'd go with the Buffalo duo. Second, if you had to pick two of these players, who would you start? James Jones for Green Bay against Dallas, Devon Bess against the Ravens, Thomas Jones against Oakland, or Mike Williams against the Giants? Well, the question is, which two would you start? I'd probably go James Jones for Green Bay. Greg Rosenthal was high on him as well. Donald Driver probably banged up or out of action. I'd go James Jones against Dallas, and Dallas is just woeful team this year. And I think Devon Bess is a very intriguing guy, although it's a tough matchup against Baltimore this week. Thomas Jones had some pretty good production last week, but that was also in 5 quarters of action against the worst run defense in the league, Buffalo. This week against Oakland, which has a pretty good defense, not a great run defense, but a pretty good defense overall, and Jamal Charles is clearly the guy, I wouldn't go with him. And then Mike Williams, with Charlie Whitehurst throwing the ball, I'd say no. I'd go James Jones and Devon Bess.
Where is that Dolphins-Ravens?
The Dolphins-Ravens game this week is in Baltimore.
Okay. It's a big game.
It's a very big game.
Yeah.
It's a very big game. Big game for AFC bragging rights, and it's kind of like the Patriots at the Steelers next week. So a lot of big games on tap every week.
It should be a fun weekend.
It should be a fun weekend, no doubt about it.
B-Low letting loose in Cleveland for the first time.
That's right. Have never been to Cleveland. Watch out.
It's like a rebirth here.
Watch out, Cleveland. You won't.
Going to be hanging out with Drew Carey.
That's right. That's right. Pete says, hey, B-Low, the show was wonderful. Well, thank you, Pete. As a first-year fantasy football owner, I've learned a lot from listening to your show. I'm having trouble deciding which receiver to start this week. I'm definitely starting Reggie Wayne, but the others I'm not sure since... Oh, come on. First of all, that was a little delayed. A little too delayed, Kevin, for my liking.
It took a while to find it.
Well, you know, whose fault is that?
I typed in flogging, and nothing came up. That's Dvorkin's fault.
That is Dvorkin's fault. Not sure since D-Jax and Cauley, DeSean Jackson and Austin Cauley, are coming off injuries. Maybe Lance Moore, Reggie Wayne, and Vasante Shanko, and Tony Gonzalez? Here's my roster. All right, quarterback Michael Vick. Running backs, Mendenhall and Foster. No doubt about that. Wide receivers, Cauley and Reggie Wayne with Lance Moore in the flex wide receiver tight end spot. Shanko at tight end. Vikings D, Olindo Mare as the kicker. Now, the bench spots, DeSean Jackson. I did have a note on DeSean Jackson. Let me see if I can find that one. Where's my DeSean Jackson? Oh, yes, concussion. Was a full participant on Thursday's practice. Barring an unforeseen recurrence of post-concussion symptoms, Jackson will start against the Colts Sunday, and as long as he's active, Jackson has to be used in fantasy leagues. Roto World says he's our 11th-ranked wide receiver this week. So there you go. DeSean Jackson deserves to be in that lineup, probably in place of Lance Moore. Then he's got LeGarrette Blount on the bench, John Kitna, Marshawn Lynch, Tony Gonzalez, Dante Stallworth, and Kenny Britt on IR. I think DeSean Jackson and LeGarrette Blount probably deserve to be in your lineup. And, I do see you've got Austin Cauley. So Austin Cauley being injured, I think he's got to come out of your lineup. And I think the news on Cauley is that you probably shouldn't expect much out of him this week. Yeah.
Get it? Because his last name's a dog.
I do get it. I do get it. I think you've got to get DeSean Jackson and LeGarrette Blount in there. Probably Jackson and Wayne as your wide receivers. And then, your flex spot is wide receiver tight end. So, yeah, maybe more in there. I guess LeGarrette Blount is a guy that will be on your bench.
I love those leagues. I love that flexibility to be able to play like two tight ends.
It's pretty good.
Big fan of the tight ends here, B-Lo.
That's right. Now, Pete gives a little twist to his email. Here's my opponent's stacked roster. Do you think I have a chance? Aaron Rodgers, Ahmad Bradshaw, Ray Rice, Andre Johnson, Brandon Marshall, Greg Jennings, Jason Witten, Chiefs defense, and Steven Gostkowski. Well, you know, I do think you have a chance to win because I think your running backs stack up well, and I think your quarterback, having Michael Vick in there, I think he's going to have a big game, should match up Rodgers, and I think it comes down to the wideouts. But I think you're right up. I think you're right there. I think you're right there, Pete. I don't know what the projections are in the stats, but I'd say I'd give you a shot. I wouldn't write yourself off. I certainly wouldn't. Now
Keep
I've
on
got a
trucking.
What I've got to do here, Kevin, and you might need you to help me out, is re-log me into the email system here.
Oh boy!
Yeah, might have to do
you
that.
Just type in your username.
Well, yeah, but are these emails in my personal inbox? I don't think so.
No, but they're not in mine either. But you can get into the web. You can get into the web radio account.
That's right. Well, that's what I'm saying. We don't want the listeners to know the password, so might need you to come around the glass and get us back in there. Webradio at patriots.com. We do have a bunch of your emails, and we're going to get to them as soon as Todd's the next email. As soon as Kevin helps me out with the username and password. So we've talked about Randy Moss today. We've talked about Michael Vick. One guy we touched on but haven't discussed too much is Beanie Wells, who I was very high on. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you very much. I was very high on coming into the year, but he has really been a disappointment, and it's hard to predict each week where he's going to go, what he's going to do. And, you know, going up against Minnesota this week, a middle-of-the-pack defense that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis was able to handle. So I have a feeling that Beanie Wells will have a chance to break out this week. All right, we've got a few more minutes, 10 more minutes or so on the Fantasy Lowdown. Going to bang out some emails here. Todd in Jackson, Wyoming. Brian, the last couple of weeks I've been hearing blues song called the Malcolm Floyd Blues, dropping myself from number one in both leagues to number two and number three, and need some help at wide receiver. His first team. All right. Quarterback, pick one. Ben Roethlisberger, he says, or Joe Wacko for Flacco. I'm probably going Roethlisberger in that one, Roethlisberger at Cincinnati. Pick three wide receivers. Seattle's Mike Williams, Jeremy Maclin, Brandon Tate, DeSean Jackson, and Malcolm Floyd. Well, it's definitely Maclin and DeSean Jackson, unless you really don't want to go with two guys from the same team. But I think in this case you do because of your depth. And I'd say go Brandon Tate. Nothing special. He had a huge play last week, and that was big for him. Nothing special, though, overall as far as number of catches. But I think in your situation here, I think Maclin, Tate, and DeSean Jackson are the guys to go with. Team two, Phillip Rivers or Matthew Stafford? You know, I'd probably go Rivers against Houston. Houston has a terrible pass defense. Peyton Manning carved it up the other day. And Stafford against the Jets, I'd probably sit him for Rivers. Pick three wide receivers, Devon Bess, Lee Evans, Anquan Boldin, or the hurt Malcolm Floyd. You don't have many options there. Devon Bess, Lee Evans, not too bad. Anquan Boldin, pretty good. And then pick a defense here, the Patriots against Cleveland or the Falcons against Tampa Bay. I'd probably go Patriots because you know, Patriots defense against Colt McCoy, that's a pretty good matchup. The only guy that looks like he could help in this league on waivers is Lewis Murphy, but every week he seems to be hit or miss each week. You think it would be a wise move to pick him up? No. Murphy hasn't played in the last couple of weeks. Haven't seen anything recently on exactly when he's expected back, but you know that Oakland offense has done just fine without him. So I would not expect to see him in the lineup, and I wouldn't want you to cut anyone and pick up Lewis Murphy. We go to Craig.
No love for Sweet Lou.
He was a sleeper for me coming into the season. I had him on a couple teams, but not anymore. Craig says, hi, below. Thought I would pick your brain on a couple questions I have on my roster spots. Who should I play this week? Pick one QB, Matt Schaub or Ben Roethlisberger?
I think you go Schaub.
You get 6 points for a passing TD, and I think Schaub has a better chance at throwing passing touchdowns against San Diego this week than Roethlisberger. Also, what do you think about Jacob Tammy as a bye week replacement? The league has tight end and a tight end wide receiver slot, so tight ends are not as deep as most leagues. The best available replacements other than Tammy are Benjamin Watson, Anthony Fasano, and Gronk. I would say that Jacob Tammy is a great bet for this week. And, Indy, we saw what Tammy did last week against Houston. I think Peyton Manning will definitely go in his direction once again.
Yeah.
And, but I also think Benjamin Watson's an intriguing guy. Not as much for this week, but he has two receiving touchdowns this year. Colt McCoy seems to be looking his way. And then Fasano and Gronkowski, listen, once bye weeks, and you shouldn't have a need for either of those guys. But Craig, I would definitely say that Jacob Tammy's a good guy to go with. And Craig says, thanks for your help. I need it. My team fell from an electric 3-0 start to a pitiful 4-4 record so far. Sorry to hear that.
I wouldn't say 4-4 is pitiful, though, B-Lo.
No, but when you start 3-0 and you've gone 1-4 over the next five,
yeah,
you have a feeling in your mouth. Mikey Vandalism, one of our new weekly emailers, says, what's up, Kevin and B-Lo? He spells both of our names wrong every week, though, Kevin. I don't have the heart to correct him. I need your fantasy advice in this week's Stardom and Sit'em. My roster is as follows in a points-per-reception league. QBs are all set for this week for me, so this is who I'll have starting. Tom Brady against Cleveland, Eli Manning against Seattle, Sam Bradford in a bye. So Brady, I think, being first on his list, is the guy. Wide receivers, pick three. Terrell Owens against Pittsburgh. He's been smoking hot. Wes Welker against Cleveland, Mike Wallace against Cincy, Santonio Holmes against Detroit, and Tampa's Mike Williams against Atlanta. So the three that I would go with are probably Owens.
Yeah.
I still find it hard to sit Wes Welker, especially I think he said it is a point per reception league, so even though Welker's receptions have been down, you still go into a game thinking he'll have more than some of these other guys. I think Mike Wallace is a reasonable guy as well. Don't dislike Santonio Holmes against Detroit, although Sanchez was really shaky last week. And Mike Williams is a guy I like, but not better than these other guys. I would probably go Owens, Welker, and Mike Wallace right there. The rest of his guys are on a bye or injured. My question, and those guys are Eddie Royal, Kenny Britt, and Sidney Rice. My question is this. Royals' production is either boom or bust, and Britt looks to be out for a good chunk of the season. With the playoffs coming up and roster spots becoming more valuable, are these guys expendable, maybe even Holmes? Well, Greg Rosenthal...
Holmes is expendable.
Holmes is expendable.
Garbage.
And Greg Rosenthal said, you know, he thinks he wouldn't be surprised if Kenny Britt is out for the whole regular season.
Wow.
And probably for the whole fantasy regular season.
That's too bad for them.
And the fantasy regular season really goes to week 14. So, yeah, those guys are expendable. And, you've got decent depth of wide receiver. So I would say that, you know, if you need to pick up someone at running back or something like that, yeah, I'd say you could probably cut ties with Britt. And Sidney Rice, it sounds like there's no real rush for him to come back, but he might be a pretty good guy to start when he does come back. Pick three running backs here. Wow. Adrian Peterson, Rashard Mendenhall, Chris Ivory against Carolina, and Danny Woodhead. I'd probably go Peterson, Mendenhall, and Ivory. Ivory was a disappointment, and he's losing carries as well. But Woodhead is not the main guy for the Patriots either. So I'd go Peterson, Mendenhall, and Ivory. He's also got Ryan Terrain on a bye. And Hightower and Lynch are free agents worth grabbing? I say no. Lynch, what a disappointment last week. And Hightower is losing carries to Beanie Wells. Pick one tight end, Jacob Tammy or Aaron Hernandez. We had this question earlier from someone else, and I would go with Tammy. And Flex, who from these leftovers do you go with? I think Woodhead is an interesting guy, but I also think Mike Williams for Tampa Bay, once we're getting into Flex, is pretty good. I know this is a lot, but with playoffs coming up, I traded Javid Best and Vernon Davis for Terrell Owens, Eli Manning, and Ryan Terrain. Looking back, good trade. I think it rounded my team out with consistency, and Davis became expendable with my depth at tight end. I have Brady's and Manning's tight ends the rest of the way. I release Favre in place of Manning. Questionable trade for you, but I can see it. You know, Best and Davis for Owens, Manning, and Terrain. If you needed a quarterback or a backup quarterback, Manning's not bad. I think Best is a tough guy to lose, but Owens has been the hot hand. Not a terrible trade for you. Good call right there. We've got an email here. This one is from Lima, Ohio. And I think we talked to Lindsay a couple weeks ago, and she said, yes, there is a Lima, Ohio.
It's Lima time.
Because I wasn't sure if Lima was the name of a person from Ohio. Got that answered. What up, y'all? I think I might need a dictionary for this question. My question is this. Vince Young's got my G Mossman now, and that fool's on the waivers in my league. Is he worth getting a snag or nah? Also, I've been looking at Mikey Sims Walker, and he looks smooth like whiskey.
Don't make me blow you up, Bilo.
Is he worth a pickup or not? Enough swag for Big Slim Jim.
Oh, good heavens.
Peace, I'm Audi. Got a remote start my Audi.
Good heavens.
Slim the Jim Behavehoff.
I bet that guy's like, he rides a tractor to work, too.
Lima, Ohio.
Yeah.
How far from Cleveland? Should I go check in with this guy?
Yeah, you should go have a beer with him.
I might have to.
Yeah, I might not ever see you again, but
I might have to. Moving on, Kevin, to Lyndon from Colton, California. I'm sorry. Hi, guys. I'm playing a salary cap base game. I'm trying to decide on a couple of guys for the rest of the year. Tom Brady or Michael Vick? Brady seems to be a lock of 15 points per game. Vick isn't a guarantee for 15, but could put up 30 points easier than Brady, I think. Sacks and INTs do not count in this game. I don't even know how to answer that. A salary cap pays game. I'd say Brady is your more. It seems like the question is consistency or versus boom or bust, and I go Brady. Calvin Johnson or Roddy White? White has been very consistent, getting at least 80 yards or 60 yards and a touchdown every week. Johnson is cheaper, and the Lions seem to be in a bunch of shootouts this year, but he's had a couple of duds. Roddy White's a guy. I mean, Calvin Johnson is having a really good year, no question about it. But Roddy White, like you said, is the consistent guy. You can bank on him every single week. Trying to bang out a couple more emails here. Hey, Brian, quick question from Tim in Baltimore. I have Miles Austin, Pierre Garçon, Hakeem Nicks, and Brandon Marshall. I can only start three. Who is the odd man out? That is a tough one. Miles Austin, I'm very down on for this week. But Hakeem Nicks has been smoking hot against Seattle. I think you definitely want to start him. Pierre Garçon, I think, is a great sleeper candidate this week for Indianapolis, and I would definitely start him. I think it's between Brandon Marshall and Miles Austin, and personally, I'd bench Austin. But it's between Marshall and Austin. I say definitely Garçon, definitely Hicks, and I'd go with Brandon Marshall as the third guy. We've got another couple emails here. This one let's go to this one right here. Dear Brian, I need help choosing my wide receiver and running back positions. Arian Foster or Ahmad Bradshaw? I have Brandon Tate, Greg Jennings, and Jeremy Maclin. Which two wide receivers do I play? Very easy questions here, Kevin. Arian Foster or Ahmad Bradshaw? It's definitely Arian Foster. No question about it. With Houston hosting San Diego, there's no question about it. You go Arian Foster. And then Tate, Jennings, and Maclin? Well, I think Tate is the guy that sits. Greg Jennings is highly ranked every week. Great quarterback throwing his way. Jeremy Maclin with Michael Vick back, I think that's a really good start. And Brandon Tate had an explosive touchdown last week. I think that was great for him. But I suppose he's startable here and there, but you're not going to start him over Greg Jennings or Jeremy Maclin. Thank you for the email. Believe it or not, Big Slim Jim Behavehoff is listening because he just emailed back in. You never answered. Vince Young, Mikey Sims worth the pickup, yay or nay? Big Slim Jim. It was hard enough for me to just read the email. I don't even know what kind of language that was. Vince Young, yes, good guy to start this week. Mike Sims, worth picking up. David Garrard's getting a little more momentum now. Sims Walker had a pretty good week. I'd say yes, both guys are worth it. It just depends on who you're benching. I hadn't had a chance to check this email out right here, and I'm not sure if this one is fantasy. Bear with me right now. Yeah, I don't think this is a fantasy email, so we're not going to get to it as we are up against the clock here on the Fantasy Lowdown. What a great show we had today with Greg Rosenthal joining us from RotoWorld.com. Check him out at RotoWorld.com. He also checks in at ProFootballTalk.com quite a bit. And quite a few emailers and listeners, we thank all of you. Thanks to Kevin as well. Email us anytime during the week, webradio@patriots.com, and we will get to it on Thursdays, 4 to 5 Eastern time, right here on Patriots.com. Enjoy the fantasy football weekend ahead. We'll see you next week on the Fantasy Lowdown.
This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.